Let's pick up a phone line with our friend Steve Bertrand from Chicago's Afternoon News. Hi, Mr. Bertrand.
Hey, John Williams. How are you?
Pretty good. Someone just sent me a picture of snow on a tree with all the leaves, and didn't think about it until Ashley and I were looking at it here. And the point is, the trees are completely bloomed. They're leaves and buds and everything them. So it's a little different. Like, I don't know if you got tomatoes, but you got to cover those up when it's snowing like this.
Well, you don't have tomatoes in yet. You're fine. It's way too early for that.
Hey, I missed the conversation, but I knew you were going to talk about it. Did you talk about the Supreme Court yesterday?
Yeah, we had an NIU professor on. Art Ward talked about it.
So the idea is that rather than nine, we would have, what is it, 11 or 13? How many justices 13? Do they want?
Well, there are a few Democrats. I don't think it's a party-wide thing, but a few Democrats introduced. One was Jerry Nadler, the House Judiciary Committee chairman, so there's some weight there, but they introduced a bill or a plan that would expand the Supreme Court to 13 justices rather than nine. The president's assigned this commission to sort of look at it. I think Speaker Pelosi said this particular plan wasn't going to go anywhere. But, yeah, we talked about it. He wrote a book called Deciding to Leave on when Supreme Court justices retire. And he had some interesting takes on what might be behind the legislation.
What do you mean?
Well, it was fascinating to me. He looked back at other times when the courts were threatened, the system was threatened, like FDR when he was going to pack the court. And his argument is that it's a political thing to pressure the justices to change on their own in many ways. So, he said this, the Obamacare is coming up before the Supreme Court, and he thinks a lot of this chatter about changing the court is in an effort to pressure the justices to maintain the status quo. So if they don't rock the boat won't be rocked, if you will. And I don't know if it's true, but it happened yesterday. The Supreme Court ruled against two permanent gun bans that came before it. So there were these permanent gun bans for nonviolent offenders, and that was being challenged in court. And this conservative Supreme Court, which the NRA thought would see it its way, actually reversed it and did not. It said that permanent bans of weapons for nonviolent offenders was legal and was constitutional. So if you believe the NIU professor, the threats of change at the court might actually have had an impact on those cases.
I know Thomas Jefferson told me once, I talked to him sometimes, that we have not always had nine justices on the Supreme Court.
Right.
That can be a changeable number. I'm more interested in the motivation. And I forget who the senator was that was talking about it last week, but he said, we have to do this because of what Donald Trump did. And if that's your motivation, I think that's not right. I think if you think you need more voices, I guess, or more diversity or more political diversity on the bench, maybe that's a reason to do it. But just because you don't like what Donald Trump did and the justices he appointed, so what now? When the Republicans get it, we're going to have 17? And then with the Democrats,
right,
pretty soon we'll have 468 Supreme Court justices. I mean, that's stupid.
Well, I could see, maybe I agree with you. I don't think that's good rationale. I mean, maybe you could say what Mitch McConnell did, in that when they didn't consider a replacement for Antonin Scalia for over a year,
right?
Maybe that's grounds for expanding the court so that one justice isn't as powerful. But even then, I think you're right. I mean, and we talked about the fact that, and there's growing movement toward, I really think there should be, but personally, term limits for the justices.
Thank you.
Not because they're too old to do their jobs or anything like that, but I think as voters, we should know when we elect a president or vote for a president what's at stake. It shouldn't be a secret or a mystery whether Joe Biden will get one appointment or two appointments or no appointments. We should know when we're voting for Donald Trump or Joe Biden that there will be two appointments coming up in the next 4 years. I think
that's only
fair.
That power is predicated on either the health or the whim of a Supreme Court justice. So you're right. We sort of vote for a president thinking maybe, but maybe not, they'll get a chance to change the status of the Supreme Court.
Right.
And think about that. That's so key.
It's huge.
So if
Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman on the court appointed by Ronald Reagan. And in 92, if I recall the story correctly, when Bill Clinton beat George Herbert Walker Bush, she was at an election night party. They had red drinks and red balloons. You know how that goes.
Uh-huh.
And But anyway, her comment that night was, well, it looks like I'm going to have to wait another 4 years before I retire. So, you know, it does, the politics of it does weigh on these justices. And I don't think I think it should be in the voters' hands. We shouldn't elect a court, but we should know who is going to be choosing which justices when we vote for president.
Well, state Supreme Court, oh, shoot, I shouldn't ask this out loud. I don't know the answer. They're elected, but for 10 years
in Illinois,
or for life? Maybe it's federal judges. There's some judgeship that is 10 years, and that seems about right to me. You would be guaranteed the entirety of the term of the president that appointed you, right, if it was 10 years. So you can't withdraw that person
Even if it's, I think they were talking about 18 years, which...
18. Okay, fine.
I don't know the math of
that. Not for life. And the other observation I have, Steve, is that I think not only is it silly to expect Supreme Court justices to be maybe relevant or reflective for the entirety of their lives, given their age and how the world changes, but look at what we do with the Constitution. We say that this 200-plus-year-old revered document, what, is going to anticipate stem cell research or the internet? So then we're always trying to sort of pigeonhole what the Founding Fathers meant when they wrote a document in which electricity wasn't common, right? So
so
every now and then we ought to, as my friend TJ says, tear up the Constitution, start all over again.
We can't pass a continuing resolution to fund the government. Do you think we could write a new constitution?
No, I know that's the corner we backed ourselves into, and I think it's because we put too much reverence on the Constitution. Like, yeah, the Bill of Rights is important. We can just cut and paste the Bill of Rights if you want, although I think we ought to have another look at what the language of the Second Amendment says, but fine, cut and paste that in. Do all 27 of them, or however many there are. Go ahead and come up with all the amendments you want, but you might change some, you might eliminate some, and most importantly, you might insert some. Boy, a rewording of the Second Amendment would be very interesting, don't you think?
Well, even just an understanding, yeah, somehow, of what was then and what is now.
Well, that's it, because now, yeah. if you redid the Constitution today, you wouldn't have to wonder what a well-regulated militia meant. You would define the terms by which people could own guns and bullets. We can resolve that by rewording it any way we want. Why am I yelling?
We can't pass a continuing resolution to fund the government, John. Do you think we're going to fix the Second Amendment?
So do they think that the Supreme Court justice number is going to change?
I don't think so. He didn't seem to think so. I mean, I think it'd be bad politics for the Democrats, frankly.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it would work against them.
Well, what Mitch McConnell did, in my opinion, was unconscionable, and I think that was a cheat. But he did it, and I think we should just suffer those consequences. And by the way, then not play tit for tat the next time you have an opportunity. Reset the field by playing appropriately and not doing what McConnell did. That would be my advice, and just take your lumps for the life of a Supreme Court justice. I think that's...
If Billy slugs you in the nose, Johnny, just take it and say thank you.
What are you doing on your show today? Any big guests or stars coming up?
Well, Ian Scher will be here. There's an Apple announcement. Terry Savage is coming by. Dr. Jim Adams, the chief medical officer for all of Northwestern Medicine, is going to talk COVID. And I'm still hoping to pursue, you know, I've been bothering you with emails about this idea of taking traffic patrols out of the hands of police. I don't think it's a good idea, but I don't think it worked, but I think there's a sliver of idea there that could work. So we're chasing down a couple police chiefs, if not today, later this week.
Steve Bertrand on Chicago's Afternoon News. You'll hear that starting at 4. Nice to hear you today, Steve. Thank you.
Listen, hey, John.
What?
Okay, so you missed the text earlier when you were talking about tastes.
Yeah.
This guy texted in and said, I lost my taste a year ago, and I've been telling inappropriate jokes ever since.
Right.
Did you get that?
I did, but I didn't think I needed to sort of...
Oh, sorry. Once again, I thought I was smarter than you, but I was wrong.
That's Steve Bertrand. He is, but I got it. I think it's